I'm Ennis Ranson, and welcome to Talking Wardrobe. Before we get into today's episode, please do hit that subscribe button as it really helps the show grow and brings you more fun fashion chats. Now let's get into it. Today's guest is best known for Waking Up the Nation on Capital Radio, the brilliant presenter and broadcaster Shaun Welby. In this episode, we talk about how her relationship with fashion has evolved, the role confidence plays in getting dressed, and the realities of navigating personal style in the public eye. So tell us what you're wearing today.
Well, I've got a bit of everything. I think my natural default is quite a tomboy style.
Okay.
Like, I'm more comfortable in trousers and jeans than sort of anything else. But yeah, this is like a happy outfit for me. This is me being almost pure Shaun, comfortable, nothing is for show.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Nothing's just because it was on trend. Saying that though, these are a recent purchase, these Mary Jane Adidas, which I genuinely wasn't sure about when they first came out.
No, okay.
I was like, what are these? They're like a shoe, they're like a pump.
They're a bit of everything.
Yeah, they've got a bit of everything, but God, I love them. You know, like,
are they comfy as well?
So comfy. And you know when you just fall in love with something, they went in and out of the basket for a while.
Yes.
I was like, oh, I'm just getting them because they actually went out of stock in my size. I was like, and the second they came back in, it's a sign. I got
yeah,
them.
You needed them.
And then jeans, these are a barrel leg M&S, which obsessed, by the way, with both that fit and the M&S jeans.
I love a barrel leg. I'm so glad that's come back.
Yeah. Well, I don't really remember them first time, really. I remember, or maybe I didn't know the term for them before.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really think a barrel leg's so flattering.
And they do look good with a flat and a heel.
Yeah,
they're
yes.
like such an all-rounder.
Yeah, really good. And then this is just a little new look blazer and a black vest.
Love. Got a bit of colour in there.
Yeah.
Khaki.
Yeah.
So how would you describe your style in three words? You mentioned tomboy.
Yeah, in three words, probably unimaginative, which is really bad to say, but it kind of is. And classic in terms of I always like staple items.
Yes.
You know, I'm somebody that really will gravitate towards always having a leather jacket, always having at least one blazer. I love jeans, slightly obsessed with shoes and trainers. So yeah, I think I do love a classic.
Oh, okay. I like that. But I think that's really nice when you know what you're into and you know how to dress in the sense, like you said, you always have a leather jacket. You know, dressing doesn't feel so confusing that way.
Yeah, I think my life is so hectic and mad. I actually wish I had more of a capsule wardrobe in general.
Yes.
Just so that I always just went, yep, yep, yep. And I think I will try and... My goal is to have that
yeah.
so that everything I have kind of works.
And easy.
Because I hate not knowing what I'm wearing and I hate it. You know when you haven't thought it through and you're going out and then the thing that you thought looked good looks awful.
Everyone's worst nightmare. Why does it
so
always happen when you're rushing?
Always. And it's because you didn't. My other half, he's total opposite. He will try it and iron it the night before.
Really?
Yeah, he's way better than me. Whereas I'm very last minute Larry and I just picture what's in my wardrobe and go, oh, yes, I know what I'll wear. 9 times out of 10, that works for me.
Yeah.
Those times when I've...
the 1%.
That 1% of the time when I've put it on and it suddenly didn't look how I remembered. Or I go, oh, no, this isn't in anymore,
yeah.
or this is awful. I looked try hard or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I have a meltdown because then suddenly everything looks disgusting.
Yeah, you get all hot.
Hot. Then your hair looks shit. Then your makeup looks bad. Sorry, I don't know if I can swear. And suddenly before you know it, you're in a hot stress and you're like, I hate everything.
Yeah.
I'm not going out.
I have no clothes.
Yeah, I've got nothing. And that's the other thing. My wardrobe is stuffed.
Yeah.
And I think that's a toxic thing in a way. Like, you're better off, I think, having almost not enough clothes so you can see it all. And realise what you're missing.
So true.
Whereas mine's so rammed, it's overwhelming, and I forget what's in there. And then, I don't know, it almost goes out of fashion by the time I've found
it.
It's
so true. And then you end up wearing the same thing anyway.
Yeah.
Well, apparently we only wear 20% of our wardrobe.
I can believe that.
Yeah.
Because you stick to your favourites.
You do.
Yeah.
So true. There is a tip that you should turn your hangers round, and then after 3 months, look at all the hangers that haven't turned round when you've not grabbed.
Oh,
and
that's
chuck
amazing.
Out. So if you do need to declutter.
I do. Honestly, it's relentless. And every time I take out bags of stuff, just through the nature of my job, I end up with more back in.
Yeah.
It needs to be like a one in, one out policy, but it isn't.
It never is happening.
No,
is it?
It's like one comes out, 10 goes back in. I'm like, oh my God, I'm drowning.
But how do you do it? So what time are you up every day?
Like 4:15.
So are we planning the outfit before? The night before, or is it a...
Sometimes, or at least might get a bit of it ready. And some of that's logistics, like I don't want to wake everyone up.
Yeah.
Like my other half, I've got a baby. I don't want to be pulling out, like, you know, underwear, drawers and socks at that time in the morning. So I try and get socks, pants, bottom half ready. I've got so many tops that normally work. I sometimes do that on the morning.
Yeah.
It's not ideal. I do, really, you want your outfit ready the night before.
Yeah, you need it planned. Because I guess as well, with radio, however long ago, it was just radio. Whereas now, everything's on camera, everything's being filmed, everything's social. So you do always need to make an effort.
Yeah, and actually, you know, that really is where it is a bit different for me as the girl on the team. Because the lads, I mean, don't get me wrong, they do make an effort, but they don't have to as much, if you know what I mean. Like, you know, you could turn up with wet hair as a lad and it would dry by the time you were on air and it's fine. If I turned up like wet hair, no makeup on, hoodie, it would look straight away like almost unprofessional.
So why is that? That's so mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it would.
And whereas I'm there like trying to do full makeup at like 4 a.m. like making, and sometimes I get to work and I have had moments where I've looked in the mirror later and gone, why did no one tell me?
But that's being surrounded by men as well.
Yeah. Like, they're like, I had a mascara under both eyes. Like, oh my God.
That for is a new trend.
Yeah. Everyone's too polite to say anything. I find that part of it is a lot, and I've had to like perfect the getting ready thing in 10-15 minutes.
Wow. Which probably did well for when you then had a daughter, because you have no time.
No, you don't, and you've got to get used to getting ready while they're hanging off your leg, taking everything out your makeup bag, colouring in with your lip liner. You're like,
yeah. So you're used to the 10-minute getting ready.
Yeah.
Was there anyone close to you that you used to look up to style-wise as you was growing up?
That's a good question. Who did I used to look to? Do you know what? Less so maybe family. Although my mum was someone who, there was a stage in her life where she was a nursery teacher and she would wear stiletto heels to work. And quite often I think about that and think, how?
Because you've just got one.
Yeah. Like, how was she bending down, doing things on her feet all day in stiletto heels? But she did always...
Just polish.
Yeah, she did always wear her heels. And so things like that. And I think growing up watching TV, I getting into pop stars and looking at what they were wearing. And I always loved the Spice Girls.
Yes.
And I really gravitate towards that 90s fashion, I think, because that's what I loved.
Yeah. Which Spice Girl was you?
It was always between Jerry and Baby. I loved both of them. Yeah. However, naturally, I'm more sporty Spice in terms of how I dress and stuff. It's weird. And I used to love all the old Adidas poppers. And,
yes, that was a trend.
I know, and I'm happy that they're back in, actually.
Yeah, people are loving that whole thing now, aren't they?
Yeah. So maybe them. And then also when I was at school, it was like All Saints and skater fashion. So it was all the baggy jeans, little vest top. And all of us had these H&M zip tops that were like, I think they were like $7.99. And they were skin tight. And so the top half would always be tight. Like everything was like tightly fitted and zipped up, but the trousers were baggy and then your trainers.
Which I do think the Gen Zs have brought back.
Yeah.
It's definitely like here to stay. I mean, there's certain trends that I find that I'm scared of that have come back. You know, like the micro mini skirt.
Oh, God, yeah. What we used to have, I reckon the gladiator belt is around the corner, isn't it? It's coming.
And the gladiator sandals.
Yes.
They're starting to slip through.
What I don't want is like, I don't want the quiff.
No, we can't have the quiff.
No, we can't have the plaited braid that went round the head with like a flower here.
Or the back combing.
No more back combing. I don't want the long pearls that you knotted.
Oh my God, you remember the knot?
I remember the knot. Because as well, from like 2005 to 2010, I worked in New Look. And so I vividly remember fashion trends because we would all buy whatever came in with our discount.
And New Look was at the forefront.
It was at that time.
It really was.
It really was. And I spent all my wages on the clothes.
Do you know what? I feel like we had so much more fun because we was able to take risks. I feel like because it wasn't documented, you could go out and wear something and it wasn't so like instantly liked or disliked on Instagram.
True, actually, because it would be in and amongst like 500 other pictures that were terrible, wouldn't it? And no one really commented on your clothes. It was more, that looks like a great night.
Yes.
You're so right. Whereas now it would be a curated like carousel of all your best pics, wouldn't it?
That we've thought about, we've edited.
Yeah, sad really.
I think apparently our generation are the luckiest alive because we've had
both.
We've been able to have a bit of both.
Yeah, because it does help, because it gives you the hindsight if you remember life without it.
Yeah.
So maybe sometimes you can get a bit more detached from it and go, oh, I've got too knee deep into this and I need to just chill out a little bit. I think we're able to, where I suppose if it's all you've ever known, how can you let it go? And what you don't know any different.
My friend had an assistant who only communicates via Snapchat.
Oh, yeah. She would be proper Gen Z.
That's a Gen Z.
Yeah.
What are we? We're millennials.
We're millennials, yeah.
We're millennials. Would you say your style has changed as your career has grown from early days to now being in the public eye?
Yeah, and honestly, to be honest, especially in this industry, it's more about you can't start where I now am in terms of fashion and what I get to maybe wear on a red carpet, because A, you just don't have the funds to do it.
Yeah.
You don't have designers wanting to work with you. There's not even that conversation. It's high street or, you know, you're buying it off ASOS. And so I think it's evolved just in terms of what I have access to now.
So true.
Whereas before I just didn't. And I think that is a thing to like, I'm trying to be so cautious about it, because a lot of my followers are quite young girls, or, you know, I don't want to say normal people, because everyone's normal, but you can get so sucked into that celebrity world where everyone's got a new outfit every week and everything they wear can look designer. And you think to yourself, well, even the Kardashians probably didn't buy that handbag. They just got given it.
So true.
Do you know what I mean? So don't try and keep up with them, because they're not even doing it.
Yes.
Like, and that's the illusion. Like, I think you've got to do it within your means. And I think actually most of us even love when it's a bargain. The best thing a girl ever says is, oh, Primark, £5.
Or, and you're so happy.
And you're buzzing, aren't you? And I do think it's nice to have bits of both, but that's where like Vinted comes in, and you could get secondhand designer, or you can borrow something and loan it, and things like that is great. And I think that's the reality, that when I'm in something really expensive, even like jewellery, I'm just loaning it for the night. And either we've paid to loan it, which I did at the Brits, I loaned a dress. Or they've lent it to me for the night for free, and then I've given it back and I've maybe tagged them as a thank you. So yeah, that side of things, I try and be really conscious, because most of the time, say if I do like this morning, I say high street. I don't want it to be pricey. I don't want anything I'm wearing really to be over £100.
Because it's so nice, especially with this morning, if people can watch and then when you come off, they can say, where's that from? And then they can go and buy it. And I think that does create a really lovely community as well.
Well, I agree, because otherwise if I'm there going, well, this is vintage Chanel, what can anyone do about that?
No. Whereas you can admire it.
Yeah, you can say, oh, I love it. But then you go, well, I can't have that. And then suddenly it might switch you off to everything. Whereas if I go, oh, this was off Very, or, oh, this is a Dorothy Perkins, or, in fact, I love it when it has been an unusual, like a Matalan or something.
So
and everyone's
good.
Like, that jacket, where's it from? Yeah. Like, it's Matalan.
Yeah, it's like something to actually scream about.
Yeah, and I love that.
And I think it's lovely how you've explained, you know, I think on Instagram we see the highlights and that's what they say, it's like a highlight reel.
Yeah.
But actually to be like, no, this is loaned, and you don't always have to have a brand new outfit. And I think we are slowly coming out of that. I think there was a stage where it was very, you couldn't ever post a picture if you've already worn an outfit, like never. But now it is a bit more like, oh, five ways to wear this jacket. And especially with the series you're doing, it is showing different ways to wear things. And
yeah, like almost investing, like if you're going to maybe spend your money on the jacket that you're going to wear all year.
Yes.
But then save your money on the top and maybe get one or two different styles of jeans, but don't buy 10. And
exactly.
It is, I think as you grow up, you sort of realise that you don't need a million versions of everything.
No, you don't.
Because like you said, you wear what, 20% of your wardrobe. So just make that the best 20%. Like just make it good. And someone said to me as well, try not, obviously we all follow trends to an extent, but don't follow a trend for the sake of it. Like, make sure you like it.
So true. And I always think this as a stylist, when I'm dressing someone, if I'm just forcing you, and I'm sure you work with stylists, if I'm forcing you to wear a trend, you're going to almost feel
a bit weird.
And you only look as good as how you feel.
I agree.
And so sometimes there's some trends that just aren't for you, and that's absolutely fine. And I think it's, you know, I went for a stage where I speak about this quite often, that beige was such a colour on Instagram. I just do not suit beige. It's not my colour.
I don't really. And it doesn't do much for my skin or anything.
But then I started wearing beige because I was like, I need to wear beige because it's neutral and it's chic and it's quite luxury.
Yeah, and in some ways more pressure for you as a stylist, because you almost are, we're all our own business, aren't we? Like we're the face of the business and we are the business. But for you being a stylist, it's kind of, I imagine actually even harder, because you're going, I need to be wearing what everyone's doing now.
before.
To reflect it as well, yeah.
And sometimes I get really annoyed because I'll wear things like the little sheer socks. I wore them 4 years ago. And then
you're like,
now they're a thing. And then I'm like, oh, I can wear them again. Yeah. And then I'm like, oh, I look like I've followed the trend here. I've missed out.
Yeah.
But speaking about red carpets, because the recent Brits, I feel like you set a trend here.
Do you know what? Honestly, there's very few moments in my life where I can say, like, I nailed it or I felt the best, because I don't think of myself like that anyway. But I've definitely been there at red carpets in the past where I've gone, oh, I've got it wrong here, or I don't love what I'm wearing, or I mean, you can find a million of those pictures.
Of course, yeah.
Because I used to get it wrong. And like I said before, couldn't really afford to do much about it.
Yeah.
I wore either something that I got given for free or that I could afford, and I just had to get away with it and wing it. But that Brits thing was, I really saw that as like every bit of like all the stars colliding almost, where you got this British designer who was also up and coming, who wanted to lend me the dress. And then I have a stylist that I'm working with, and she had a vision, and suddenly, but then all of us were like, but you've got to feel comfortable. You've got to feel like you in it.
Yeah.
And it kind of just came together. You know, I've worked with my makeup artist for years, Alice. And so I think when you've been together with people for like 10, 15 years, you've made the mistakes. You've done the hairstyles that look terrible. You've done the makeup that looks ridiculous. Like, me and I laugh about it all the time. We've done some looks.
Yeah.
But it felt like we just nailed it that day. And it was a nice feeling, actually. When you feel like you almost could be in with the other, like, pop stars and stuff that you always, you know, I used to go to those awards things like a Brits or, you know, anything like that where you go, well, we're nothing compared to the artists. But I did at that point, I was like, oh my God, I feel like we've just nailed it.
Yeah. I honestly, you was one of the best dressed of the night.
Oh, thank you.
Amazing. And then seeing the Met, it was all...
I know!
So you started a trend.
Great. I've either jumped on it, but a bit like you said, maybe I just jumped on it at just the right time.
Perfect
just
timing.
Before it peaked.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But it's so true as well. It's like when you've got your team around you who you feel comfortable with and confident, and they, you know, you trust the process. But also, like you said, it's really important to make mistakes.
Yes.
And have those moments where you're like, okay, that didn't work, but let's move on from it.
Yeah. I've got a picture of me working on a BAFTA's red carpet, and I really vividly remember it. Again, I would have had no money, and I had this really cheap strapless, almost like a sort of corset top and then like a frilly bottom dress. But the BAFTAs are always in February when it's freezing cold, and I was going to spend hours on the red carpet, and you can't be in a coat.
No.
So I found again a new look, sequin long sleeve dress, put the corset one over the top of it, and wore two dresses. And I and I think back to that moment and think, oh my God, I just did it and I didn't care. And I just went there. I just put two dresses together.
Very inventive.
Yeah, kept warm. So I wore two dresses. And again, you know, that would have, people were asking me actually at the time, oh, where is it from? And I just was embarrassed to admit it was these two random dresses. And I don't know where the other one was from, but yeah.
But you know what's funny now? Even if someone said, where's it from? You'd be like, oh, I put two dresses, and you'd be so confident with saying that. Isn't it mad? The difference in, like, how many years ago was that?
Well, yeah, probably 10 years ago or something.
Exactly.
And you're right, it is confidence, because at the beginning you were almost trying so hard to be accepted in that world.
Yeah.
And then you gain a confidence later in life where you go, no, I do belong here. I've worked really hard.
Yeah.
And now I do feel comfortable, you know, almost, because it was a little bit self-conscious at the Brits being in such a dramatic dress.
Yeah.
Because there's a, you know, there's always a moment where you feel like you're in a car park and you're going, I look ridiculous. And that's the truth, actually. And that's the other side you don't see. I got in a luxury car from the hotel. They took me to the Brits, but you still have to check in and get your wristband. I ended up in a car park, honestly.
No.
In all that gear, looking like a right idiot.
In the car
park. And you go, that's the reality of, you don't see me doing that bit.
Yeah.
You see me on the carpet looking in context. But there was a moment where you're feeling quite self-conscious and ridiculous.
Because the dress does not suit the area you're
in. No, when everyone's in their coats with their like cases and like cameramen going, what the hell are you doing? I'm like, hi.
I always think that with the Met Gala, because when you look down, they're all just stood queuing, waiting. And I'm like, does everyone queue, or is there some sort of system here? Because I just think that's crazy, isn't it? And I think they're the bits that you don't see.
Yeah. And I think about, the Met Gala is like my Roman Empire sometimes. I think about, how's she sitting down in that?
I know.
Can she get changed? Is she allowed to?
Well, I actually went to the Devil Wears Prada premiere and my top was so big, so I took a backup top.
Oh, wow.
Because I was so excited for the film.
Yes.
And I thought, I'm not sitting eating my popcorn in this.
No.
So I took a spare top.
You see, that's brilliant. I hope that they do it. I hope they do, because I think it's definitely as well, in general, a female thing where you go, I now know this 5 minutes on the carpet was awesome,
yes,
but the rest of the night is going to be hell. And I have sat at these things like with a corset digging into my ribs.
The corsets.
I've got heels where my toes are swelling. The trotters, they're swelling up.
They're steaming up when them perspex shoes.
Yeah, I'm looking down going, oh my God, if I take them off, they're never going back on. And I'm sitting trying to have a meal, like networking. And I'm like, I don't want to eat this food. I can't breathe. And I always think of the Met Gala and think, there's definitely a moment before they get changed where it's awkward.
Yes.
And I saw pictures of the inside of the Met and it's like a greenhouse, like big glass,
oh, wow,
roof. So very daylight. You know, like the cold light of day.
Yes.
Where dressed like that, but in dark surroundings, music playing, feel okay. The cold light of day and you've got like a pheasant stuck to your head and like flippers on and you go, yeah, this is actually, you know what I mean? Like, oh, okay. And I actually always think as well about like the Kardashians have nailed it, because they at least go there and there's at least five people they know immediately for chat.
So true.
Can you imagine the small talk?
They're so lucky because everywhere they go,
they're always together.
Whereas
imagine turning up and you don't know anyone.
Pheasant on your head.
Yeah, and you're there just trying to like go, yeah, and everyone's being polite going, you look
amazing.
You've
got in for a kiss, you've poked someone in the eye with a pheasant. Yeah. That's so true. Do you ever get nervous going to events?
Yeah, I do a little bit. Maybe not as much.
I guess you've got your two. You've got your brothers.
True. If I go with Jordan and Chris, it's great. So it's just like going on a school trip.
Yeah.
But a lot of those things, you do get one invite, no plus one, and you turn up on your own. And luckily now, it's such a small world, you normally know somebody.
Yes.
But even then, there's always that moment. And like I say, deep down, I'm not one for being... People might think you're really confident because of your job, and I am when I'm doing my job.
Yeah.
But if I feel a little bit out of my comfort zone, like I'm sort of dressed, what do you call it, like... Because you are dressed to the nines,
yes,
and that's very much like an attention-seeking thing, I'm like, oh my God, I don't know if I want this kind of attention because I don't feel confident.
Yes.
And so, yeah, I have moments where I think, oh, I just can't wait to get home and put joggers on.
Pajamas.
Yeah.
Love my pajamas.
Yeah.
But it's true, because sometimes you're in these outfits and you almost do feel a bit like imposter syndrome, and you're a bit like, what am I doing here right now?
Well, I don't know if you've seen on my Instagram, but I did a shoot for a magazine called Original Magazine.
I saw.
That was out of my, that was fashion to a level and a degree I've never done.
I saw some of your shoes. Stories and you was like, was there like this large shoe?
Yeah, there was a shoe that was honestly about 3 foot long and it was like a wedding shoe. I mean, you know, when you just go, I know models can deal with this, but I am not a model. I'm not the size of a model. I don't have the confidence of a model. I'm not very good at being serious.
Okay,
because I'm overthinking that I'm taking myself seriously.
Yes.
So, you know, do you know what I mean? Like if I'm doing a photo shoot and it's just me laughing and smiling.
Which I guess is very on brand for you. That's your whole image, isn't it?
And I'm actually very comfortable doing that. And I really enjoy that. But if for whatever reason it has to be moody, serious, sexy, I'm like, oh, I'm giving myself the ick. It's like I feel so cringe. And there I was in this like, I'm in like a wedding dress type thing with a cape on the top, shoes 3 foot long, sober as a judge. You know, like some of these things you go, this is fancy dress in the broad day like this. You know, I'm there.
You could be at the Met. You're at your own, very own Met.
It was very Met. And then the other thing that people don't always think about is, so I was out of my comfort zone of feeling a bit self-conscious. And then I had 15 people, you know, there's not just one cameraman, the whole crew watching as you stood there trying to do, I'm like, what do I do with my hands? Where do these feet go? At what angle do I put this leg? You know, help, please someone help me. And they were all lovely. And everyone on these shoots are always amazing.
Yeah.
But it doesn't stop how you feel, does it? It took me half an hour to almost not burst into tears, if I'm being honest.
Because it is so out of your comfort. And did you have any of your own team or was it all
you? I had Alice doing my makeup, who, like,
which
I say, she
brilliant.
Always comes with me. But the actual styling, because it was so obscure, it was done by an in-house team.
Well, they've asked me to style an upcoming shoot, and obviously my style,
oh, for Original Magazine,
yes,
oh wow,
but my style is very commercial in a way, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, I mean, where are we buying 3 foot shoes from?
Genuinely do not know. But what was quite cute and what I loved about it in the end, and it actually made me think I'm actually so glad I did do it, is I did enjoy the shoot by the end. Yeah. I really warmed into it and sort of imagined I was almost playing a role.
Yes,
like a
brilliant.
Acting
it's so
role.
So fun.
Yeah, it was so fun. And it's cool to play dress up and it's an experience that not many people get to do. So I was very grateful. It ended up being absolutely fine. And then I talked about it on like Capital and on This Morning. And what was really nice is the team and the designers who were all up and coming. It meant so much more to them.
Yeah.
Because their photos and their work was now being put on mainstream channels.
So true, because that just doesn't happen anymore.
No. So after that, I thought, oh, that's what it was actually about, really. It wasn't really about me. Like, it was a nice interview that they did. But actually, for those designers, for a moment, they just got to have, like, a mainstream moment.
Yeah.
Which hopefully might help something else. Yeah.
And it is fun to experiment and I guess do something that is so out of your comfort zone.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun. It's also terrifying.
Was there any other phases throughout your career other than the 3 foot long shoes where you thought, what am I doing?
Oh, Ellis, so many times. You blag it all until you finally know what you're doing. In terms of fashion, do you mean?
Or just in the whole, yeah, any moments that you've sort of...
Well, you can Google Shan Welby worst dressed and you will find the evidence, the receipts. There was a time when, talking of Snapchat earlier, like Snapchat glasses, I don't know if you remember this, or goggles, they called them, Snapchat goggles.
Okay.
And you could buy them in America. And by chance, at the time, I was in New York. I was like, and you got them in vending machines. I was like, this is insane. I'm going to bring these back to the UK where Snapchat was popping off more than TikTok. TikTok wasn't invented at this point. Yeah. So I'm working on like a, I think it was a BAFTA red carpet again. And I'm actually in just a really nice just black suit. So lovely. That was fine.
Yeah.
But I put these Snapchat glasses on, these goggles. So, because you could film and live stream from your glasses.
Wow. Okay.
Which is so ahead of the times. And weirdly, it never caught on. And the glasses just flopped.
That's crazy.
And they just died a death. And no one really bought them, right? But in that moment, I was doing like a bit of groundbreaking filming. And I was filming. I had this idea. I went down the red carpet and no one really batted an eyelid. And then I got to the press bit where all the cameras are, you know, when there's loads of them.
Yes, yes.
And I looked over to them and I knew a few of them over the years. And I said, hey, guys, if I put these glasses on, I'm going to film what it looks like point of view when you're getting your photo taken.
So they went. Brilliant.
So I thought, this is great. So I'm moving my head around like this. And they go, Shan. And I was like, this is great. Put it on Instagram. What I didn't think is, of course, they would use those pictures. So they went into the Daily Mail straight away, like, what on earth is she wearing? And I got like Lorraine's worst dress that week. Everyone discussed it.
And that's why the Snapchat glasses never made it.
Maybe that's it. I ruined it for them. They're like, she's just ruined this. They're very uncool now.
But I also love that about you, that you don't take yourself seriously. No. Because sometimes you go on these carpets. Obviously, I've gone as a stylist, like roughed in. And now sometimes I get to go because of, you know, different things. Yeah. And some people, it is like... they are there to work and they can work it.
And you know what? Fair play. And I do respect it. It's not like because the same way of like I'm sort of mocking the Met Gala, I do also get it.
100%.
And I get that it's not always about the person wearing it, actually. It's more about expressing a designer's style or ideas or something really creative. So I do admire it all. But I personally don't take it too seriously because I don't take myself too seriously. Yeah. And also, like I say, I don't want to be this person I'm not. I don't want to look dead serious on my timeline in like a Gucci dress that I would never wear. You know, I've rented it. It's going back. I'm keeping the label in or whatever the thing is. Do you know what I mean? And that's the reality. We're all in the same boat, I think, really.
So true. And I guess it like relieves the pressure because, you know, being in the public eye especially, there is pressure and you've always got eyes on you. So if you just relax a bit, I think everyone around you does.
I agree. And there is also, I always say where I am right now is a really lovely level of fame. And it's quite a scary place because it will obviously go one way or another. With your career, you might have a burst of being more famous. And that side of it does terrify me because that is when you just open yourself up a tiny level more. Like right now, I've got a very sweet following.
Yeah.
Everyone on Instagram's positive. I don't really have any bad eggs. I don't get...
so nice.
I just have a nice crowd. I think I've not really done any big reality shows, so I've not invited in like other opinions. If you follow me, it's probably because you like me.
Yeah.
So that gives me quite a weird skew, because I know that all it will take is one other job, a bigger job, or more mainstream television, and suddenly everything you wear, your hair, suddenly I will be that Met Gala person that I'm there sitting going, sitting in my jammies going, hate that outfit that she's got on. Then I will be that person where everyone will have an opinion on what I'm wearing that night and stuff. And I suppose hopefully, I mean, I've got a thick enough skin and I'm maybe in a good place, just even just with my career and my maturity maybe to handle it. But I do feel for people that shot to fame quick
and it's
haven't been used to anything and then suddenly got loads of opinions, because it is terrifying.
Yeah, I guess when you put it like that, you've almost like warmed up to it.
Yes.
It's been like a really gradual, lovely journey. And
really lovely and slow. And so actually it's just crept in. I don't want to jinx anything because I've just had a nice time.
Yeah.
And actually I know that it can get horrible out there, and I know it can get very bitchy or very like catty, or you can just be open to just the negative side of people that follow you because they don't like you and they just want to.
Yes, which they're the people that scare me the most.
Yeah, yeah.
Same. It's a strange way to be, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's so lovely that you've built a really, but I think because you are such a positive person and you do bring such great energy to things, it does, you know, it comes
hopefully through. Hopefully attracts. Yeah, definitely. You hope that, don't you? But like I say, you just don't know. And I could be one job away from suddenly a new crowd coming in. And it does terrify you, because really I'm doing this job. The byproduct is the famous bit. And a bit like you do the job because you love clothes. Like the core of it, you love what you do. And then you might have a moment where you are a premiere or you're doing something because you're influencing or whatever. Whereas same for me, I love the whole entertainment side of it. I love the presenting. I love being on radio. I love the silliness of TV.
Yeah.
Do I really want the fame that comes with it? Not really.
No.
I'd love to be able to still go out, get drunk and no one film me. And that's the kind of thing. You know, they say freedom is the best thing in the world. So it's a terrifying thing, because almost as your job, as you get better in this job, the fame gets bigger. And that is a scary byproduct of it all.
So true. And it's also the pressure of the more people that like you, the more jobs you get.
Yes.
And the bigger following you have and all these crazy things. And it almost becomes a bit of a popularity contest.
Yes, it does. And then there'll be a real moment where you're suddenly the one. And I do think a lot of people get that little moment where, suddenly someone said yes, someone took a chance, and then it's bang, 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 you're on everything.
Yeah.
And then it'll be like, oh, I'm sick of seeing her.
Yeah.
But there'll always be that moment, I think, where you pop. You hope.
Yeah.
And then you have to make the right decisions, because then you will suddenly, because you're popular there, someone else will use you on that thing that before they didn't look at you for. Yeah. And then you can almost be everywhere too soon. Like, and then everyone's like, I'm overwhelmed. You're everywhere. Like, do my editing, shut up.
I don't think anyone will feel like that with you.
I hope not.
Have you ever felt pressure to look a certain way or act a certain way throughout?
It's a good question. I'm trying to think, because I am lucky. I think when I first got into radio, I felt a bit like, oh God, have I got, because again, it was all broadcast, and it wasn't like the old days where it was just hoodie and pajamas or whatever.
Yeah.
So when I first started Heart, that was my first sort of job in radio, and radio was just getting quite glamorous. And you had people like Amanda Holden with like incredible outfits every day, or Ashley Roberts. And
they are so glam.
They are so effortless. They do it so well. They are how to do it so well. They just nail it. But I knew that was almost too intense for me to try and keep up with that.
Yeah.
So I thought, I sort of made a mental decision that for me to be Sean every day and not have that added stress, because actually it probably isn't stress for some people because they love it.
It's that just comes naturally to
exactly.
them.
Exactly. Whereas for me, I was like, I do think I just need to be able to come to work in my jeans, my jumpers, my, you know, still look smart, but I couldn't bear the thought of having to prep maybe a week's worth of looks.
Yeah.
That would be too much for me, I think.
So it's, I guess, staying true to yourself.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really good tip for anyone starting a new job or wanting to do anything, is just being yourself and not trying to be anyone else or compare yourself.
Yeah. And also almost financially putting yourself in a mess. Like, please, if don't start whatever job you're in, if you're trying to keep up with something that financially you cannot do.
Yes.
I think you've got to see that as an alarm bell and go, I just can't, and I'm just going to be me. And if it means I wear the same black blazer every day or I create a uniform for myself, I think you have to do that, please don't get yourself in a mess trying to keep up with designer handbags and trainers and whatever until, you know, unless you want to treat yourself, or unless you've earned that money and you go, yeah, I can.
Yeah.
But I think if you're not at a point where you can, the pressure to do that, that I feel sad if you are stuck in that loop, because people do. No, I know people that have.
I know. And even as a fashion stylist, I'm even someone who's like, no, I'm not going to, for example, buy a Birkin right now, because that's not something that, but it's so hard because you're like, oh God, I'm a fashion stylist. Should I have a Birkin? And am I not successful if I don't have a Birkin?
Exactly. You can overthink it all,
yeah,
can't you?
And crazy.
Really, how many people do? And also, I know celebs that wear fake versions.
Yes.
Even the biggest pop stars have told me, oh, this watch isn't real. Oh, this bag's not real.
You must get some good insight.
Yeah, I'm not going to give the names away.
I won't even ask.
Men and women, pop stars have come in and we've gone, oh, that's nice. And they've gone, oh, it's not a real one. And sometimes it's because they, for safety reasons, they've gone, I'm wearing a fake version, but I have a real one at home. Yeah. Fair. But sometimes it literally is, oh, no, I'm not spending that on it.
Yeah.
But the illusion to their followers would be, of course, that's the real deal.
Yeah.
And then if you, as whatever your job is back home, try to keep up with that, and this is what I'm saying, they're not even doing it.
No.
So don't you try and do it, because they're not even doing it.
Yeah. Don't keep up with online.
No.
What's online?
No, just stick to you. And you know what? If you find your little dupe of something that you love, or a version that's similar, do it.
I know. I love a sample sale.
Yeah, great.
Love a sample sale. That's my go-to.
Well, that's another way of doing it, isn't it? If you really love designer, or you want to have a really lovely handbag to treat yourself, there are ways of doing it where you can get a vintage thing on like eBay or Vinted, or there's so many brands like M&S actually do so many like similar vibes.
100%.
On stuff that's high-end designer.
Yes, they do amazing.
Yeah.
We'll say dupes, but I don't think it's an exact dupe, but similar.
Yeah, exactly. It's similar things where you go, that's like that Balenciaga or that Bottega or whatever. And I feel like in your friendship group, no one's going to, in some ways, your mates might be more thinking, they spent that on that t-shirt. Whereas actually, if you just get one that's like, oh, I love your bag. Oh, it's the Topshop version, or it's, you know, do you know what I mean?
It's almost more impressive. I feel like there's more style to it.
Yeah.
And I do think you get your little fix.
You get a fix.
You go and get your Bottega dupe. But also, do you think becoming a mum has changed your mindset a lot with things?
Yeah, maybe it has. I think I try not to, I definitely don't want to get into the now I need to dress for the school run vibe. That can be as competitive as a runway.
That is crazy.
Yeah. So I don't want to fall into that trap of going, I've got to dress away for the school run.
Because there's trends. Certain schools have trends, don't they?
Yeah. And I think you do. You get end up in this sort of yummy mummy kind of like, I think it can get quite competitive. I mean, my little girl's only at nursery at the minute. So
you're not at the real games yet.
No, I'm not at the proper game. I'm not at the full Olympic ceremony yet of the school gates. But I bet it does get quite competitive. And, you know, you hear mates say stuff that have got older kids and things. But also, I also don't want to go so far the other way where you lose yourself and you stop dressing to feel good.
So true.
You know, I don't want to just suddenly go, oh, I don't follow trends anymore, I'm a mum. Like, no.
No, I think there's a lovely space in the middle.
There is.
And I think if you can stay in that, and if you dress for how you feel good, and, you know, if you're doing, for example, when you do This Morning and things, I feel like they have a team, don't they?
Yeah.
And they might push you to wear different things. And then you think, oh, I like that. I'll take that into my own wardrobe.
That's something that happened to me actually on This Morning in a really good way. The stylist there, Rachel, she's brilliant.
She's amazing.
She's lovely. And she just, sometimes the word is just like elevated. She didn't try and change me, but she elevated what I wore to just be on This Morning, I feel a tiny bit more grown up or a bit more
polished
is a good word. Whereas, because I don't think I could, weirdly, the stuff that you wear day to day does not translate on TV at all. And also dressing for TV is a skill, because on that show, you've got to look good standing up and sitting down.
Without creasing,
without exposing boob or bum or, you know, because you're bending and you're doing mad things, and 1 minute a group of dogs are coming in, and then you've got like you're doing some sort of modelling, and then that show is such a gear change all the time. You're cooking 1 minute and you're doing something else. And so, and a lot of it is a mid shot. So whatever you're wearing, it can't just only look good full length, which so many things do.
You don't realise, no.
So many things look good when you're moving in them on a night out. They don't look good when you stood still or sat in them, and it can be dead unflattering. And also, if everything's like a mid shot and it's quite a wide thing, it can look awful.
Yeah.
See it in context, wide, oversized with your legs and whatever. Looks fab.
Yeah.
But oversized does not work on TV. No. So a lot of things are very tailored and fitted. And you do wear a lot of brands that you forgot, almost maybe wouldn't day to day, but brands like Karen Millen pop up a lot. That they're amazing tailored clothes, and
the quality is great.
Yeah. And so brands that maybe I didn't think about, suddenly like, oh my God, these are my go-to.
Yeah. I really enjoy your wardrobe for this morning. Because you post, you tag, and it's just really, it feels accessible.
Yeah.
But it does, like you say, feels a bit elevated. It's very chic.
Yeah, thanks. And nine times out of 10 is a high street, and it might just be an M&S, a new look. It could be a Dorothy Perkins. And then the slightly more expensive stuff will be like a Karen Millen, a Reese.
And other stories and Odd Muse.
They come up a lot, and they're really just good. But again, what I would say with that is a lot of those things you really could mix and match with loads of other stuff. But And Other Stories seems to be very good for like a two-piece or like just really nice.
I think if in doubt, a two-piece is a great piece, like something that you can just throw on, she says.
She's literally wearing one. Actually, the second I got in, I was like, where's that from? I need it.
But it's so easy. But I'm the same as you. I like to be comfortable.
Yeah.
And especially like what you're saying, you're up and down. I'm on set, maybe pinning or doing whatever. So it is important to feel comfortable and not feel pulling at yourself. And like you said, don't wear things that don't work for you, I think is such a key thing.
Yeah, because again, in your job, you probably really would be most comfortable in gym gear and trainers.
Yes.
But there's obviously an element of you going, well, I don't want to just wear that because I want to represent me as the brand.
And I am meant to be the most fashionable person here.
Yes, which you always are, by the way. I mean, we've known each other years, and you always did the summertime balls, jingle bell balls. And I always used to think, you need to be on stage.
Oh, no, just the outfits. But let's talk about summertime ball and jingle bell ball outfits. Because they're a whole, like, how did that feel? Because that's not something you've done before, the O2.
No, and like Wembley coming up. No, and do you know what it is? I think as well, one of the things that I try and stick by now is almost dressing for the occasion. So rather than having a set in stone thing that I do, for summertime balls and jingle bell balls, which is like a capital concert where it's loads of different artists, I just say, make me a pop star. And then normally someone's an inspiration. I remember one year it was Meghan Trainor because I saw some
fun.
She had this like full pink outfit. So I normally find something like that to give me the first step of inspiration.
Yeah.
Or it could be Sabrina Carpenter, or I'll just find someone that I go, that was cool. One year it was Christina Aguilera. I was like, I need this sort of look. And Tat, who I work with, this stylist, she got this, there was a one year when it was like a blue sequin jumpsuit.
I remember that.
But she literally went, should we cut the legs off? I was like, let's just cut the legs off.
Yeah.
Or one Brit, and again, this was quite ahead of, actually there was a lot of this at the Met Gala. We did this like silver breastplate that was really high-end designer that they lent us. And it was just, you know what I mean? By a breast, like
it was like
a solid piece of that's perspex.
Yeah, which everyone, it was on your body.
Yes. Yeah. And so it looked almost like spray painted on, but it looks like metal, but it was like a plasticky thing. That was really high end. And then we kept trying to find a skirt to go with it and didn't like anything. And then we literally found this like 36 quid Ibiza chainmail, I don't know what brand skirt, quiz skirt. And she stitched me into that on the day. So she's quite creative with things like that. And so I enjoy like those big red carpet ones. So not like your normal red carpet where you're sort of going
a bit more
subdued. When it's like a Brits, I see it as a bit more fun.
Yeah.
And then for summertime ball, I see it full pop star and I'm like, Britney Spears, whatever, go for it, let's do it.
But I love that, because when else do you ever get the chance?
No, and I do enjoy that. And I think, like you say, as long as you feel comfortable and confident, it's not always what I'm in is that expensive. It's just more that it's mad or it's fun. And it's, you know, one year we were just in like an Ibiza party dress that people were just buying as like a, I can't explain it, but it was just an Ibiza outfit.
Yeah.
Which, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Like a beachy, but sequins.
Yeah.
A day beach party event.
Glitter box.
Yeah, exactly.
Glitter box. But do you feel like then you can be in a bit of character to get up on a stage at O2 and the Wembley?
Oh, man. When you feel, I think presenting half fit is how you look and feel.
Yeah.
Because a bit like anything, we've all been there on a night out when we're not feeling it. and you shut, you go, don't take a picture of me.
Or, and there's nothing worse.
There's nothing worse. Or you just go, oh, don't ask me about this. I actually don't like what I'm wearing. And then to try and present and be confident when you feel like that is really hard. So the second it's in and I, and it's like fits to it like a glove.
Yeah.
And there is something I would say that a lot of lads won't ever experience is a corset. And I was laughing with the lads at Capital. Yes. Yes, they're uncomfortable, but God, the empowering feeling you
when
get,
you get that.
When you are cinched into yes. something and you feel like, pow, I'm a superhero. Yes. And that's maybe the feeling. You feel like you're in like a superhero costume almost. And it, in the same way that in like a Superman outfit, that like the abs are built in.
Yes, it's that, exactly isn't that.
It?
Yes.
You, it's your version of the Batman suit.
And it just sculpts you in. And yes. I think the first time I ever saw that was on Titanic when she's like,
yes, yeah, that's right.
Pulling her in. And we've yeah. just, so they've always been such a moment for women. And I true. Love the fact that they're still around.
Such a good point. I didn't really think about that. But for years, throughout history, women have wore corsets.
Yes.
And they definitely do something. They straighten you up. Same as putting a heel on. I love my flats. But you do carry yourself different in a high heel.
Oh, you do. You walk better in a heel. They just, I just think posing, everything, just especially when they're 3 inches long.
Well, this is it. I'm a short girl and it gives you a new personality because I'm suddenly the tall girl. And actually the lads, because the lads, they will hate me for saying this because both are under 6 foot, despite both them saying that they are. Yes. But we joke about it and they're like, well, heels should be illegal. That's not fair. It's making you taller than me. And so we do laugh about it. But yeah, you feel taller, you feel confident. And then when you're wearing something that you feel comfortable in, but it is a showstopper.
You like, do, yeah. There's cool. not, and that as a stylist is the best feeling when you see someone transform.
Yes.
And you see them go into the outfit and you're like, you feel good. And it's such a, because clothes can do that. It's amazing how much clothes, hair and makeup can do for you. They just can completely transform you.
I agree. And to give credit to you, I mean, you're so brilliant, but just being a stylist is way more than maybe a lot of people might think. Yes. You aren't just putting together clothes that you like. You are literally finding stuff. You will be finding stuff that you like, but then you're also trying to, will this suit the person I'm dressing? Will they like it? Will it suit their body type? But will they be comfortable in it? And it's that, it is such a collaboration, isn't it?
It is such a collab. And like you said, when you say, okay, I love Christina Aguilera's look, and then the stylist goes off and it is a whole, it is fun.
Yeah.
But it's also quite hard because, like you said, there are barriers and there's things. And especially at the beginning of people's careers, the brands aren't loaning. So no. there is that, you know, and then you see them and it's the comparison. You might see your client go to a red carpet and then you see the bigger celebs, for example, wearing these dresses. And then you're like, oh, it's not as good, or it doesn't yeah. feel as amazing as or special as their moment.
Yeah. And I've worked with people that just didn't get me. And yes. that's not really their fault. Just sometimes maybe you just can't be in tune, or sometimes maybe that partnership takes longer to blossom. You even see it with big A-list stars that suddenly go, they're dressing well and they've changed the stylist.
Exactly.
And it doesn't mean the old stylist was bad. It just means it wasn't working for them, or the vision wasn't maybe.
Exactly. Well, it's such a strong relationship, you know. One of my best friends I met as her stylist, and now I'm her child's godmother. You know,
yeah,
it's such a strong
such
relationship.
A friendship.
Yeah, and it's such a personal relationship. But there's been times where people have approached me and I don't know what I can do, as in I don't feel like I could elevate their style, or we wouldn't align.
Yes.
And I think that does happen. I've had someone I've met for a meeting and we've both come away feeling like that didn't feel right, but there's no hard feelings.
No.
And it's just, that is how it is.
But it really is, there's an art and a science to being a stylist, because it is emotional. It's almost like a therapist as well.
It's
reading someone's body language, isn't it? And going, they don't like that. I'm taking them out of it. They're not comfortable. Because you might get over polite people who won't say anything.
Yes.
And then you'll get very demanding people that will tell you. But, you know, there's some way, it's reading it, isn't it?
Yeah. I'd always rather be told.
Yeah.
But that's actually where this concept came from, because over the years, I've been a stylist for over 10 years.
Yeah.
All my favorite conversations, whether that's with friends, whether that's with my clients, have been in the wardrobe. And I think you do have really personal, you know, when you're getting changed, when you're getting ready for a night out with your friends. I don't know, something happens in the wardrobe.
It does.
You feel a bit more open.
Well, we always say the best part of a night out is getting ready.
It is.
It is.
Not if you're a two-year-old stealing all your makeup, though.
No. When the two-year-old's in bed and I'm getting ready, yes. Or when I'm with the girls getting ready, that when you're on holiday getting ready, those moments are the best.
Yes.
And yeah, your night out's great, but God, the build-up is amazing, isn't it? And it is actually sometimes the same with all those red carpet jobs. It was the fun getting ready with your mates who you've known for years that are now your stylist and your makeup artist. But really, we're all just friends. The that along the way have got so in tune with each other that we just now nail it. And I know, like with Tat, actually we bonded really quick and she just seemed to get me. Whereas, you know, other people, it's either just not worked or maybe you are too different in taste sometimes, aren't you, with someone?
Yeah, because style is so subjective and personal. Yeah. But I do, like you said, I love those moments when like you're getting the pictures before and all the team are like, woo, you look so amazing. It's like this whole glam squad it's just so fun.
Yeah.
And then you almost don't want to go.
No, you're like, oh, it's so good. Now I've got to do some work and actually stand in the cold for a bit. Yeah.
So if you could go back and give yourself one piece of advice and style advice, what would you say?
First of all, just leave those eyebrows alone. Young Sean, put the tweezers down. What were you doing? Upside down Nike ticks on my eyes. Terrible. I have had some shockers. I had that thing where I had the blonde hair on top, the dyed hair underneath.
Oh, did you? You went for that?
Yeah. Oh, I've done it all. No, I think in general, I've probably tried some things and it was probably me trying something that wasn't my vibe. And sometimes, do you know what, most of my regrets in my career are when I've done something that was out of character for me and I followed someone else's advice but just too much. And I'm quite a trusting person and I will always trust, and you know, I give credit where it's due. So if I'm with a makeup artist, I go, you know better than me.
Exactly, the same.
You know better than me, right? Because I will respect that job. But sometimes in the early stage of my career, I think I just let that, I was too loose. I had no boundaries, which meant I had a different look every time I went on telly. And, you know, hair updo, downdo.
Who is
Sean? Yeah, what on earth is she? And I do think you have to find a style. One of the most incredible, turnarounds that I'm fascinated with is Zara Larsson, and her part of why she is popping right now musically is because she's found her look.
Yes.
And how important that is. She's found a style. And I always think if someone could go as you for Halloween, you found your...
That's so
you're
true.
In your zone.
Yes.
People that are in their zone. Claudia Winkleman, I could dress as her and you'd know it was Claudia.
Yes.
Zara Larsson right now, I would be in pink eyeshadows and glitter and I'd be in 90s clothes and I'd have the blonde hair and you'd go, oh, you like, that's like a Zara look. Sabrina's got a look. Like you start realizing some of your favorite people have almost like a thing. You can't quite put your finger on it, but you know it.
And that's actually a really good point, because for the likes of Charlie XCX, she stayed true to who she was and just kept going, didn't she?
Yeah.
And then it finally paid off. And I think sometimes it's that, isn't it? Even if it, you know, it feels slow and it doesn't feel like it's happening.
That's
just
right.
Keep at it.
Keep at it and trust yourself.
Yeah.
That if that is your style and that's who you are, people will like you for it because you'll be so authentic in that thing. So if you are trying to keep up with mates who are into certain stuff and you're like, I just like my jeans and my hoodie, stay in your jeans and your hoodie.
Yeah.
Because that is you, and that will be you being your most confident, your best. The second you, I mean, we can all experiment and we have to get things wrong.
Definitely.
That's fine. But I think actually you'll look back at all the times you felt your best and it's because you were in the clothes you loved. And you were doing the thing you like. You had your hair the way you like it.
Yes.
And, you know, all those things. You can get told, oh, it looked trendier with a bob or you need a fringe. The point is, if you don't feel comfortable,
don't do it.
Don't do it.
So I think that is really good, because say you are really comfortable and doing something you love, the background noise, like the haters, you just can be like, not going to listen. But when it's something you're on the fence about, say, for example, I started wearing some mad colour or some, and people are like, not sure on that, then you start really doubting yourself. So I think as long as you stay in your lane.
Well, it's true. And you won't always get that right, but you'll, there's a saying that I love that's win or learn. You either win or you learn.
So true. See, my dad always says, it's okay to mess up as long as you learn from it.
Yes.
It's okay to fail as long as you learn
from
it.
You have to.
So true.
You just have to. I had a mate actually that hated the word fail, and he said to me, it was a try. And I was like, it was a try.
Yes.
It was just a try. I tried something. It didn't work. It doesn't matter. You don't have to now delete your Instagram and start again.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm saying? You're allowed to have some looks. I actually, this is one of the things I really try and do. Sometimes I purposely do a video where I don't look as great or the lighting's not perfect, because I don't want to become a thing that's not even real or achievable.
Yes.
As in, I can't always be in all my glam. I can't always have the perfect hair.
Yeah.
I can't always be dressed really well. And so I try to sometimes just go, Sean, just pick up the phone, don't overthink it, and film and just
eat some cheese off the floor.
Eat some cheese. there you go.
Eat some cheese.
A bit of balance.
Balance.
1 minute you're at the Brits, looking the part. The next minute you're eating cheese off the floor. And that's the reality of life. And that's who I am. And I think actually that's everyone you ever see. They've got that side of eating
so
cheese off
true.
The floor.
But no, normally we don't get to see that.
No.
But we want to see that.
Of course
I think
we do. Well, it makes you feel like, oh, okay, there isn't somebody just perfecting life in every
exactly.
single way. Like, that's not real, is it?
It's nice.
And you are right that if the one thing you said that I thought was so true is if you then get any backlash, whatever it is, whether it's something you said, what you wore, what you dressed, if you stand by it, it's fine.
Yeah.
But if you were on the fence at the time and you did something because someone else sort of overly influenced you and you weren't really happy about it, but you did it, and then you get the backlash, it's so horrible.
And that hurts so much more.
It hurts because you go, I knew I shouldn't have done that.
I'm actually now going to put like out a thing that we need an outfit try instead of outfit fail.
Yeah.
That can be the new thing. Let's invent it.
Do you know what? Ellis, that's nice. Why don't you do a little, here's some tries for you at the Met
yes.
Gala. She tried, he tried. Like, it's fine. It
Good
wasn't
try.
A fail. They tried.
I love that.
Yeah.
I think we need it. What is it? A petition?
Yeah, we just started a new campaign of trying. It was a try. It wasn't a fail.
Yeah,
it was just a try.
So we're going to actually play a game of fashion this or that.
Go on.
So I think I know most of these after our chat. Leather jacket or trench coat?
Yeah, leather jacket.
Vintage or brand new?
I'm probably guilty of brand new, but deep down I love vintage.
Yes. Co-ord or mismatch?
Co-ord, love a co-ord.
Statement shoes or statement bag?
Oh, statement shoes is probably what I do more of, but everyone loves a nice handbag, but yeah. Statement shoes is what I do.
Polka dots or stripes?
Oh, man.
I don't think I've seen you in a polka dot.
No, very rarely ever wear polka dots. I'll say stripes. Yeah.
Full black outfit or full colour outfit?
I think guilty full black outfit would be a default.
Yes, but I guess because you're on TV and we don't see you in much black.
No.
So maybe it should go to off camera.
If you were saying, like, say if it was there on a rail to choose for the day, I think I would gravitate towards the full black because there's something about black where you always feel good.
Yes.
Don't you?
Yeah.
So I would see it as the safe option.
Online shopping or high street in person?
I do miss the high street a bit. I probably do a lot of online shopping now, but I used to love just blitzing it, like going into the big Topshop Oxford Street.
Dreams.
I used to be able to just go in and go bang, bang, bang. I'm one of those, it's all or nothing. I might go a month without buying anything. Then I'll go into like a Zara. Yeah, I'm an in-person.
In-person.
And then I get everything. Yeah.
Devil Wears Prada 1 or 2?
Oh, I've not seen the second one yet.
No.
I've not seen it, but everyone says it's brilliant. But the first one is just, to me, such an awesome film. Because I can't compare, I'll have to go on the first.
I think, it is a good sequel.
You know, I found out that, who plays Andy?
Anne Hathaway
was like the ninth choice.
I know.
What the
Have
hell?
Have you seen all the people who were checked?
So I saw Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, I saw Rachel
McAdams.
Yeah. There was someone else who said they really regretted not doing it, and I can't remember.
Yes.
It was someone who was...
Kate Hudson.
But I think Anne Hathaway was perfect.
It's just, you can't imagine it with anyone else, can you?
No.
When you see things like that. But yeah, mad.
Yeah.
Again, that just shows you, because a lot of... They might have gone with what their agent said, and that's another one.
Yes.
Who knows? Maybe it wasn't that well paid at the time, or maybe they went, you're bigger than that. And
yeah,
this goes back just quickly to the Zara Larsson thing of people said, why is she supporting Tate McRae? She's the bigger star. But she didn't have an ego. She did support Tate McRae. And now look at the side effect of that by being humble about it.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Just because she was like, I'm going to...
Because she could have listened. That would have been one of those moments, sliding doors, where she could have listened and gone, oh, maybe this doesn't look big enough for me that I'm supporting someone because
yes.
I am an artist in my own right. She's been going for years. But she, to me, that was again another thing of going, no, I want to support Tate. This is awesome. Does a load of American gigs. Americans now know and love her. Now I think she will literally be a bit like you said, Charlie XCX and
yes.
the Brat summer. This will be a Zara Larsson summer.
She's predicted it.
Yeah, I'm saying it.
Summer.
We'll all be dressing like her.
But I guess it's a bit like Sabrina Carpenter was sort of on tour with bits with Taylor Swift.
Yes.
And next thing I was like, now I'm singing every song from a whole album. When did that happen?
Yeah, definitely. And that, honestly, that's a lesson in any job. sometimes it's a sidestep, not a backward step. You know what I mean?
So true.
You can't always go, it's got to go in a straight line, because that's not real, is it?
No, it's impossible.
It's impossible. The amount of jobs where I've gone, oh, I've got to start from ground zero on this because they don't know me yet. I've got to prove myself. Even if I've done bigger things, better things, more well-paid things, sometimes you have to go back to the start and go, well, they don't know that, so I'm going to have to show them.
Yeah, I love that. That's a great life tip as well. So we're going to play fashion red flags and green flags.
Okay.
Wearing something once and never repeating it.
Yeah, red flag.
Having a signature look.
Green flag.
Dressing for comfort over style.
Green flag.
Keeping clothes just in case for years.
It's such a red flag, but I do it. I'm such a hoarder. I can't let go.
Saying I've got nothing to wear with a full wardrobe. Am I just actually calling you
out?
This
is me. Yeah, red flag, yes.
Planning outfits days in advance.
It is actually a green flag. It sounds so neurotic, but I actually admire it. People that can do that, fair play to you.
How many days in advance is your partner?
Oh, yeah, he could be months. He'll be going, I've got a wedding next year. What am I wearing for that? Honestly, yeah.
There's two types in that relationship.
Yeah, there's two types, definitely.
Twinning with a partner.
Oh, it's a bit of a red flag, but God, we all do it. So the amount of times me and Jake are getting ready and then I look up and go, we can't both be in those trainers, these jeans, this jacket. Like we've gravitated towards similar
things. Yeah, you become each other.
One of us has to go, right, change your trousers.
Who ends up?
Actually me. But I suppose because he's pre-planned this for so long, I can't.
You couldn't do it to him.
No.
Visible underwear.
Red flag, not for me.
Socks with sandals.
Nah, red flag.
Thank you so much. I've honestly it's been so lovely because I feel like we always see each other at jobs.
I know, but we never
get to sit and have an hour chat.
Honestly, Ellis, this has become my life, right? Where I keep saying to people, I think we need to be booked on a job together to actually catch up because it's impossible. The amount of friends that I've gone, oh, we've finally got that catch up in because we're working together.
Yeah.
But it has been a joy and thank you for having me on.
Thank you for the tips. Thank you so much to Sian for joining me in the wardrobe today. I had so much fun hearing about your journey with both style and finding confidence. As always, if you enjoyed today's episode, please do subscribe, share it with a friend or leave a quick review as it really helps. This production is brought to you by Purposely Different Productions.